ये जो तो जो ना ला जो बातों जाने जो ไยจิจิจิเวสนาเยโตลาเปจิสังเยโตบาโชสังเยจุตังตุจิจินังจังจุบาโตดาเนจุสังเจไดเกจิจิจิเวสนังโตลาเปจิสังเยโตบาโชสังเยจุตังตุจิจินังจังจุบาโตดาเนจุสังเจไดเกจิจิจิเวสนัง だ、けじにま。なんと、2年2年や、たまとち、しょがにや、なんちゃんとき、せむりや。ね、にょもちぎて、きぐみのせや、たしち。ね、にょもちぎとってね。たまちれ、けじしゃりゃ、ゆれちゃばばやだ。ね、ちらぎにれや、ちゃばだしん。いや、ちぎまがさりゃ、ちきたわ。
Good evening on this cold evening. Last time we spoke about how it's important that every day from when we get up, we need to look at our minds, examine our minds, and see and look for the presence of afflicted minds, of these deluded minds. And so if we see minds, these afflictions that have arisen in dependence on objects that we are attached to, so in other words, these wanted situations that we are drawn to, or if we see minds of the class of anger, which come from situations that we are repulsed from, things that we don't want. So if we see these minds present within us, then we need to apply the antidotes, and antidotes such as minds of love and kindness, minds the motivation of wanting to benefit others, etc. So this is what we looked at briefly last time. Tonight we'll start with the 34th practice, refraining from harsh words.
This
harsh speech is one of the 10 non-virtues included amongst the 4 of the verbal non-virtues. So if we ask ourselves, what is harsh speech? It is speech that harms others.
If
if we speak to others in a harsh manner, it serves to immediately lead to the arisal of unhappiness in the mind of the person that we're speaking to. When unhappiness arises in the mind, then their mental state is, of course, disturbed. And from this unhappiness, they are then likely to respond under the influence of their own afflictions. So by speaking in a harsh manner to others, others firstly become unhappy, and then they are likely to respond to one in a harsh way from their own side, due to the arisal of afflictions in their own mind. Then this, of course, will lead to an altercation between the two of you. So it could be a verbal altercation or a physical altercation. But this is the potential result of harsh speech. So therefore, this is to be abandoned.
Speaking
to someone in a harsh manner, it has the immediate effect of them becoming unhappy. So now, and then from that, they are likely to respond to us in a harsh manner, and then we become unhappy. So the result of speaking to others in a harsh manner is not only do we harm someone else and make them unhappy, but we too become unhappy as well. And not only, and its altercation may not only be expressed verbally, it may also be expressed physically. So clearly, this is a lose-lose situation for both parties. And furthermore, when the situation has come to an end and one leaves and goes home, one's mind will stay obsessed with what had occurred earlier, and that arguments will go around in one's mind again and again and again, and then one will be at home physically separated from the other person, but mentally still present, still in that unhappy situation, and these disturbing thoughts will go around and around in one's mind, disturbing or preventing any arisal of peace. Furthermore, if speaking to someone in this way, they're going to start to see us as someone that they'd rather be separated from. They'll see us as someone who brings unhappiness. If they are to encounter us again, they would see that it's quite likely that unhappiness will follow. So they'll rather avoid us and see us as someone that they'd rather not be around. Interacting with someone in an unpleasant manner like this, if it's someone that you don't have much of a relationship with, they are likely to because they don't know you well, they're likely to become quite averse to you quite quickly and want to avoid you. And in this way, any opportunity of developing a beneficial relationship with this person is likely to not come about. And if you want to communicate to someone that you do have a close relationship with and communicates with them in a harsh manner, then their response may not be to stay away from you completely immediately, but if one relates on a regular basis to someone that one is close to in a harsh manner, in an abusive or abrasive manner, then even such a person, a loved one or a good friend, then such a person one may start to become separated from, and they will not want to continue that close relationship with you. So in this way, one can lose even close friends, and as well as creating a barrier to the development of friendships with others. So we've spoken now about some of the results that come from harsh speech, but what are the causes for the arisal of harsh speech? Well, that of course is the afflictive mind, and in particular these root poisons of ignorance, of aversion or anger, and of attachment. From anger, of course, if anger is present in one's mind, then it's very likely that harsh speech will follow. And so how does then harsh speech follow from attachment? Because from anger it's kind of clear, we have experience of this, but from attachment, harsh speech also follows. So if we have great attachment for someone or something, and then someone else comes in between us and our object of attachment, or threatens to take it away from us, or prevent our enjoyment of this this person or this object that we are attached to, anger is likely to arise, we are likely then to respond with harsh speech. From ignorance, so this class of ignorance is more like a confusion or a not knowing, and from this mental state, one can engage in harsh speech towards others. There are many ways to speak harshly to others. So the one, of course, is to speak directly in a harsh way to others.
Another
way that one can express harsh speech is not necessarily in the direct manner, but in a more indirect manner, such as through sarcasm or through joking, but with where it's clear to everyone there's another meaning behind what is being said. So in this way, one can also express harsh speech. So these two types are quite different expressions, but they have the same outcome of causing the other person to become unhappy, the mind to for them to be brought down, mentally become depressed, or mentally be brought down. So the result is the same whether one talks harshly in a direct manner or in an indirect manner, such as through sarcasm. A third way would be, again, not directly speaking in a harsh manner to the person before you, but speaking in an abusive way, in an unpleasant way, about those that the person before you feels very close to. So their loved ones, their close friends, or their family, and speaking about them in an abusive manner, in a derogatory manner. That too will be harsh speech, although you're not speaking harshly about the person before you, but rather to those that they are emotionally close to. So again, we've heard the causes of this harsh speech are these three, any of the three root poisons: ignorance, attachment, aversion. And so this type of ignorance, more the confusion type. And then the nature of harsh speech is that it is non-virtuous. In terms of the strength of the non-virtue that is accumulated, then this is dependent on the motivation with which the speaker speaks. So if one's mind is totally consumed with anger, then no matter how one talks, the non-virtue one accumulates is going to be very powerful. Similarly, if one's mind is quite relaxed, but one speaks in a joking way, but with some kind of sarcastic meaning or hidden meaning behind there, then because one's mind, the motivation is not particularly powerful, then the negativity is going to be a lot smaller. So motivation is particularly important in terms of the strength of the non-virtue accumulated. In terms of the strength of the non-virtue accumulated, we've now heard about one way that this is magnified, and that's the motivation. A second way that the non-virtue is magnified, this is independent on the object. In other words, the person to whom that you are speaking badly to or about. So if one is speaking badly or in a harsh manner to one's spiritual teacher or to one's own parents, then the negativity is great. Whereas if one is speaking in a harsh or in an unpleasant manner to someone that one is not in either of those categories, then the negativity will be smaller. So we've spoken now about these two key ways which are relating to the strength of the negativity, the motivation and the object. Now, when one speaks in a harsh manner, it's not that one will always, that it's not that negativity is always accumulated. So there are four factors for the karma to be complete. So here we have the the required object. We need an the motivation, this afflictive motivation. You need discrimination, and you need conclusion. And so this doesn't sound right. Okay, now they come correctly. So you've got the basis, you've got the intention, and you've got thirdly then the activity, and fourthly the conclusion. So those are the four. So I'll say those again. You've got the basis, you've got the intention, you've got the activity, and the conclusion. Those are the four that are required for it to be a complete action. So for example, if one talks in a harsh manner, but there's no one to hear what is being said, then it's not a completed action, because it's a requirement for someone to hear the harsh speech. So if you're just talking in a harsh manner in your room, then there is no one there to hear, and it's not a complete action. And so in terms of motivation, so how could the one's motivation be lacking? So let's say one is engaging in half speech, but there's no one around. You're just expressing yourself. but then someone suddenly comes into earshot or comes there without you realizing. So now there is someone who's hearing you talking in a harsh manner. So what was absent in the previous example now is there. There's someone who's hearing and understanding the words. But you have no motivation to talk to this person in a harsh manner. You weren't even aware that they were there. So in this case, you could say the motivation is absent, and therefore it would not be a complete non-virtuous action. And similarly, if one speaks in a harsh manner whilst one is asleep, then again the motivation is lacking. One wouldn't say that this was inspired by afflictions of anger, attachment, or ignorance. So therefore, that one wouldn't accumulate non-virtue if one was speaking in a harsh manner whilst asleep.
However,
if all four of these components, the object, the person, the basis, the intention, the performance, and the conclusion, if those four are present, it will be a non-virtuous action. If the non-virtue is, if this non-virtuous speech or this harsh speech is of a particularly powerful magnitude, it could ripen in this very life. Otherwise, it's likely to ripen in a future life. So for example, if a teacher is giving their student some advice, and the student doesn't really like this advice or wants to hear it, and gets angry and responds engages with their teacher through this anger. And there was a story. So the student got angry at the advice from the teacher and called the teacher a snake. So in this way, harsh speech was uttered to a very powerful object or basis, the virtuous friend. And it was done under a powerful afflicted mind, namely anger. And it was done, so there was performance, and it was heard and understood, it was completed. So this was a very powerful negative action. And that karmic result was experienced in the same life.
Mm-hmm.
And how was the this karma experienced? Well, it was this person then had an accident and lost the use of their arms and legs, and they couldn't move other than moving their torso. So, in other words, moving in a way like a snake. So, in this way, they experience the karmic ripening result of speaking in an abusive manner to their teacher in this very life. So we are, of course, in the context here of the practices of a bodhisattva. So a bodhisattva then would relate to this practice here by looking at the causes. So we've heard that the causes of harsh speech are attachment, aversion, and ignorance. And they would see that these are not the minds that should act under the influence of. They are bodhisattvas with a commitment to be of greatest benefit to others. So they shouldn't be acting under the influence of these afflictive minds. Then secondly, the bodhisattva should investigate the result, and seeing that the result is that immediately others will be harmed. The person they're speaking to or about will be harmed by the bodhisattva speaking in a harsh manner to them. And of course this is contrary to the motivation of a bodhisattva. So therefore this is to be guarded against or abandoned. And then also as part of the result, the bodhisattva would be aware that not only do they harm the sentient being that they are committed to helping, but they themselves are accumulating non-virtue and that will ripen in the future. And then thirdly, the bodhisattva will investigate the entity of the earlier I said nature, actually entity of harsh speech, and that is, it is non-virtuous, and therefore is to be abandoned. So in this way, a bodhisattva would utilize the abandonment of, in this manner, the bodhisattva would abandon harsh speech. The way a bodhisattva should be relating to others is in a warm and a kind manner, motivated by minds such as love and compassion. So if the bodhisattva doesn't take control of their mind, and ensure that minds such as harsh speech are abandoned, then the habit of harsh speech is just going to grow. If they indulge themselves and allow themselves to engage in harsh speech from time to time, a habit will be formed. And this habit is contrary to the goal of a bodhisattva and is not in accordance with the behavior of a bodhisattva. So therefore, a bodhisattva needs to guard their mind against harsh speech and ensure that they speak to others in an appropriate manner. As we can see in this verse and from the outline, here the text is talking specifically about harsh speech. However, the meaning isn't only harsh speech. The bodhisattva would read this and understand that it implies also other forms of non-virtuous speech, such as divisive speech or lying. All of these are included here, although they are not explicitly stated. And the reason that they're included is if the bodhisattva doesn't guard their mind and be aware of the presence or the absence of afflictions and thereby being aware of their motivation and how they're engaging with others, then they could easily end up engaging with others in a non-virtuous way, in an unwholesome manner. And if they're not guarding their mind, they'll engage with others in a harsh way, like we've heard here tonight, speaking in an abusive manner, belittling others and the like. But they'll also easily end up deceiving others, lying to others, trying to take advantage of others. And thirdly, they could also easily, through not guarding their mind, they could end up acting in a divisive manner, in a way of separating people who are close and the like. So, therefore, here, while the text explicitly states harsh speech, we should understand that it includes lies and divisive speech too. And furthermore, the time that the bodhisattva would need to be particularly on guard is when they are relaxing, they may be with friends, and they just chilling out with their friends. Because it's at times like that they may well drop their guard in terms of being aware of what minds are present, what minds are dominant. And it's at those times they could easily, whilst joking around with their friends, they could engage in harsh speech or mocking others or being sarcastic and the like. So one needs to guard against all of these kinds of ways of communicating with others, and a time to be particularly aware is when it's relaxed or hanging out with one's friends. The training here is not only to abandon this this unwholesome way to speak, but the bodhisattva should cultivate a gentle way, an appealing way to communicate with others, because it's through communicating in a skillful manner with others that the bodhisattva will achieve their heart wish, will be able to be of lasting benefit to others.
Mm-hmm.
So we've heard now how the Bodhisattva will come to understand this non-virtuous behavior in terms of investigating the causes, investigating the results and the entity, and therefore thereby seeing that only faults come from speaking, communicating with others in such an inappropriate manner. Seeing that, they will train in abandoning all forms of inappropriate speech. And then accompanying this, they will cultivate an appropriate way to relate with others, relating with others, bearing in mind that others are their being of benefit to others is their motivation. So therefore they will cultivate a way or train themselves in a way to communicate with others that is beneficial. So a way that is honest, a way that is expresses the love and the compassion that is dominant in their minds. Not only will they train in abandoning all inappropriate speech, but they'll train in cultivating an appropriate way to communicate with sentient beings. And the reason the bodhisattvas would do this is that they only want to experience happiness, they don't want to experience any problems and difficulties themselves, and moreover, they don't want anyone else to experience problems and difficulties either. And with such a motivation, with having cultivated such a motivation to a high extent, they have generated this mind of bodhicitta, and they're striving to attain Buddhahood for the sake of others. So we, as aspirant bodhisattvas, as people who have the wish to experience only happiness and don't want to experience any kinds of difficulties, and we want to be of lasting benefit to others too, we should train in the same way that bodhisattvas do. So this is important, so I want to repeat it to really emphasize. The position that we find ourselves in is that we don't necessarily see all aspects of our harsh speech or divisive speech or lies as being faulty. And we may justify it or think that it's appropriate, etc. So this is where we are, and this is the mistake that we make. So as we've been hearing, we should practice in the same way as the bodhisattvas do. And we should look at the causes. In other words, look at our motivation. Look at whether we are communicating in that way due to afflictions or not. Secondly, we should contemplate on the results that come from speaking in such a manner. And thirdly, think about the entity of this. In other words, that this is non-virtuous behavior. It leads to suffering for oneself and for others. So this is important. We need to look in this, investigate in this way, just like the bodhisattvas do, so as to be able to abandon harsh speech and then thereafter train in wholesome speech.
The
way to train ourselves in this is like with all objects of meditation, to develop this new mental habit, to train ourselves here and become habituated with this. We need to think about this repeatedly, again and again and again. And this is how we will develop a new mental habit. And so the way to do this is in the morning, when we engage in meditation, we should think about what we've heard here tonight in terms of the cause, the result, and the entity. And then when it becomes clear in our mind the faults that follow from harsh speech or lying or divisive speech, when that becomes clear in our mind, we will give rise to the aspiration of, I will not engage in this inappropriate way of communicating with others. So that's the first step, is to generate this powerful aspiration or determination that I will not engage in harsh speech, because I understand clearly the cause, the afflictive causes, the results that come from this, and that it's in its entity non-virtuous. And when we've given rise to that first step, this motivation of I will not communicate anymore in this way, we then need to, in our meditation, think about situations or role-play situations where we will encounter situations that we are likely to encounter, where we would usually respond with harsh speech or we'd respond dishonestly or divisively. And then through role-playing these situations in our mind, we can think about how better we can respond, how more skillfully we can respond. And when we do this, these two steps repeatedly, then when we encounter situations where we have the temptation or there's the likelihood of us responding inappropriately, because of our training in meditation, we are now much more likely to respond skillfully. And this shows how we're developing new mental habits, new ways of thinking. Another method for abandoning this inappropriate form of communication is to develop familiarity or habituation with a mind that is completely other to a mind that responds with harsh speech, etc. So if we investigate, we'll see that we often respond inappropriately due to anger, sometimes attachment and ignorance. But a mind that is contrary to this is a mind of love. So if we cultivate the mind of love and we develop strong familiarity with love, then when we encounter difficult situations, we are going to respond by this mind that is now dominant with us. Instead of anger arising, love will arise. And if we, for example, then if we've been meditating on love, when we arise from meditation, our mental state is very pleasant, it's joyful. We will be happy. We will show this also on our face. People will see that we're in a good mood. Whereas if things are not going well, well, people also see this. So if we've been cultivating love and we are in a good mood and we come into a difficult situation, we maybe meet someone who's overcome by anger. Because of our healthy and wholesome mental state, just our mere presence will help diffuse the situation, and also we will have so much more skill due to the mental state that we are in to respond to them in a skillful manner. And in this way, we will not engage in any negativity and we'll be able to benefit the other person as well. So this then is a second technique, a technique for overcoming anger or preventing anger arising in our mind, is to cultivate a mind of love. Further technique is the cultivation of the mind of patience, because this too is contrary to the mind of anger. So if we've cultivated patience well, then when we encounter a difficult situation or a dangerous situation, so let's say someone who themselves is dominated by the affliction of anger and expresses this towards us, if we have been training successfully over a period of time in patience, we will naturally respond to this very dangerous and trying situation with the mind of patience. And then we're not going to be angry, and not being angry, we're not going to respond due to anger. And that comes down to training, prior training in patience. With the cultivation of patience, what doesn't happen is that we don't no longer meet people who are afflicted and giving us a hard time. It's not that we are able to dispel them. What we do change, though, is how we relate to them, and thereby how we respond to them. So if we think of how we currently respond to someone who's maybe afflicted and speaks to us in a harsh manner or in an abusive manner, well, we won't be able to get rid of people, the afflictions in the minds of others. But if we cultivate the mind of patience repeatedly over a period of time, what we will do is be able to take control of our own mind. And then when we encounter these difficult situations where we are in danger of being overcome by the afflictions ourselves, we will rather than responding in the way that we are right now habituated to, we will respond in the new way, in the way that we have become habituated to. We will respond by the arrival of patience, and our mind will stay calm and gentle no matter what is happening before us. We will stay calm and gentle.
え、で、なんか、ちょっと、にゃんねんじゃ、で、なんか、ちょっと、ちょっと、パン、にゃんねんじゃ、で、なんか、ちょっと、しょべんや、なんか、にみちきさんだわいな。だって、じゃんや、ちょっと、ちょっと、しゃんねびき、ちしさんで、きにしきめ、さんびき、なんで、さんのたやちだ。あの、みじゃんぎて、そすぐ、ねばだ、ねびき、ちくしゃべんや、でりゃ、パネーぎ、れんで、ろうめ、でりゃ、ちくしゃぼこんぎな、さんびき、さんのたやち、に、さんだ、にいし、でね、なんで、ちゃんば。
ジャンバサムダコミヤギ、デネギジュスムネガジュギドウチェンサムダワイナ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ、アネチュズシエディ
techniques that one can use to change the way that we respond in these difficult circumstances. So we've heard about thinking about the cause, the result, and the entity of harsh speech, and seeing how it's inappropriate, and in this way develop a strong determination to abandon this behavior. We've spoken also then about, after that we spoke about cultivating love as a way to abandon inappropriate speech. And then thirdly, we spoke about cultivating patience. So three techniques. And the way to engage in this is through developing a stable and continuous meditation habit. So we get, for example, rise in the morning and then generate the clear understanding that I do not want to create the causes of suffering for myself and others, and go through the meditation as we described earlier, and come to a firm resolve that one will not respond in an inappropriate way to others. One makes this commitment not to engage in behavior that leads to future suffering for ourselves, that leads to suffering and unhappiness for others. And then once one has made such a firm commitment, then one can cultivate minds such as love, or mentally train in patience and the like. And in this way, we will develop a new way of thinking. Then what will happen is when we encounter difficult situations, the way that we respond, we'll see this way that we respond is starting to change. Won't be immediate, but we'll start to see we are conceptually able to recall our meditation, bring that to mind, and in this way stop the arisal of our afflictions. And as we progress with our training, then recalling our meditation, this will start to arise spontaneously. And that will take more time, but it will come about if we engage in repeated meditation on this topic. And through doing this, we won't be able to eliminate our seeds of anger and the like, but we will be able to change how we respond to difficult situations. We will be able to change how we interact with others, and we will be able to change the impact we have on the lives of others. It's important that if you have this intention now to engage in this practice, that it's clear that this needs to be done over a sustained period of time. Doing this meditation once or twice doesn't bring about any lasting change. And that secondly, over this period of cultivation, which is over a lengthy period of time, one may have the aspiration to not communicate to others inappropriately, but one will still continue to do so. It takes time to develop new mental habits. So it's important here to make these two commitments. The one, that's to do this over a period of time until the change is stable. And secondly, that whilst one is training, to accept that one will fall back, one will speak to others in inappropriate manners. And this, in a sense, it's okay. It's to be expected. And the way to deal with this then is that then in our next meditation session, maybe in that evening when we reflect on the day, to generate first the recollection that today in this situation I spoke to this person in an inappropriate manner, and generate regret for that, thinking about that one spoke under the influence of the afflictive minds, one caused suffering to oneself and to others, and that this is this the nature of the speech is non-virtuous, or the entity of the speech is non-virtuous. So in this way, generating regret. And this regret then needs to be strong so that it comes with the commitment of, I'm going to continue on this path. I'm going to continue to try and not speak to others in this way. I'm going to continue with the cultivation of minds of love towards others, minds of patience towards dealing with difficulties and the like. So this is important. And doing this not only leads to the change of our behavior, but immediately it leads to the accumulation of virtue. Because this mind of regret for non-virtue, leads to the accumulation of virtue. So again, because this is a way that mental training comes about, one needs to do this repeatedly, forming a new habit. And we know in life, forming habits takes repetition. So this we need to do. And we should motivate ourselves knowing that by doing this, we are engaging in the practices of a bodhisattva. So we are emulating these great beings in the world and practicing just like them. And relating to it in this way, this will too motivate us to keep going and form this habit. And there's a quotation in the commentary from Lama Atisha. The wise abandon altogether words which bring others down. So in this quote here, the wise abandon altogether words which bring others down. So of course the words which bring others down are words such as harsh speech. And this is because no one wants to hear such speech. And when one hears such speech, one's mind becomes depressed, or one becomes disheartened. And so in this quotation, the subject is the wise. So the wise here means, as we've heard before, this is someone who has thought about the causes from which harsh speech arises, so these afflictive minds. They've thought about the results that come from harsh speech, in other words, suffering for others as well as oneself, and they've thought about the entity of this this behavior in its entity is non-virtuous. So having meditated in this way, or investigated in this way, then they come to see they should abandon such speech. And here, such people are referred to as the wise.
Mm.
Here the advice is to be like these wise people, or it can be also translated as skilled people or scholars. So it's to be like them and to take this as advice from those who have engaged in the training themselves and look at, investigate the causes, the results and the entity, and give rise then to the aspiration to abandon such behavior. Then there's the second quotation is one from Lama Karakpa. Don't shoot the poisoned arrow of harsh speech. Abandon the anger of an unwholesome mind. In this first line, it refers to a poisoned arrow. So here, this poison is what is meant, is likened to harsh speech, or harsh speech is likened to poison. Because of course an arrow harms people, but if it is poisoned, then it is so much more dangerous. And then this is of course how we should see harsh speech, as something that can lead to so much suffering. If one were to shoot this poisoned arrow at someone else, of course it's going to harm them, but being poisoned, then the pain and the suffering is so much amplified. And so this is important, this analogy then is useful to remind us of the harm that harsh speech brings to others. It can come very easily from us, but the harm that it can cause to others can be quite severe. And if you think about it in society, there are certainly situations where harsh speech leads to even an extreme result such as suicide. And where we can see this is, for example, amongst adolescents at school, where if kids bully each other, and if a child is being bullied repeatedly, then the words that they have heard are like a poison going through their body, going through their mind, and dominates their minds, and may even result in extreme behavior such as suicide. And when here it's saying abandon the anger of an unwholesome mind. So this is clearly showing that the cause of this poisoned arrow is an unwholesome mind, and this is what one needs to abandon.
Yeah, ne bu di ge ka sa ne ko je na me ba de se mi ki wo cha ya da de ne ji je ma le ya ya ge di chi gi se bi pa me la bi se mi ju pa ya da de ne ki che ba yung go ro ba da che sa ko jam je so ne je de ji ne di de ji ne mi ji gi chi su re she de de liang ju se go ro kom je pa le ma lo ba je sha sha ba ne ko ka sam ji le ko ro she ne pa ye ji ne di mi di ma ma tu ma sha ba je chen bu ra ja de ya lai go ro ba da
And then furthermore, in addition to the training ourselves in not as relating to others or communicating with others in this inappropriate way, we should cultivate minds such as love and compassion. Because then, if we've cultivated minds like love and compassion, the way we will relate to others and communicate with others will be motivated by those minds. In this way, we'll develop close and harmonious relationships with others. And such relationships are of mutual benefit. And this is the motivation that we are trying to cultivate, a motivation of being of benefit to others. So therefore, this cultivation of the mind of love is imperative here. And furthermore, the mind of patience. This helps us when others speak to us in an inappropriate manner, speak to us in an abusive manner. If we have cultivated patience well, then no matter what others say to us or do to us, our mind will stay calm, we'll stay in control of our mind, and we will therefore be able to respond in a skillful manner. And this will mean we will be able to not only diffuse the situation, but through doing that, we will be able to build a good relationship with this person who's speaking to us in an inappropriate manner. And this too, building good relations with others, is the intention of bodhisattvas. In this context, advice that is often given by teachers is that when one is in the company of others, then one should guard one's speech carefully, because that is the time that one is in danger of speaking in one of the inappropriate ways. So when in groups, then one should guard one's speech carefully. When one is alone, that's not the time to be guarding your speech. You can say what you want then. But when one is alone, that's when one should be focusing on one's mind. So of course one should always be looking at one's mind, but when one's alone, one's less distracted, and one can internalize more easily. So that's when one is alone, one should be looking within one's mind. When one is engaging with others, then we need to be particularly mindful of our speech.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll finish here then for tonight. So then, just to recap what we've looked at this evening with this verse, is we've spoken about our speech and bearing in mind that it includes all forms of includes dishonesty and divisive speech and the like. And we spoke about the need to act like a bodhisattva and investigate the causes of this inappropriate speech, the afflicted mind, to investigate the results that follow from acting in this way, and that's suffering for oneself and others, and that the entity of such behavior is non-virtuous. And one should do this until one comes to the point of having a clear understanding that this kind of behavior needs to be abandoned. And we should give rise to this with the understanding that what we want is happiness. And not only do we want to experience happiness, we want to experience the greatest form of happiness, lasting happiness. And not only that, we want to take others to such a state. We want others to be free from all forms of difficulties, all forms of problems, and to also experience only lasting happiness. And this cannot come about if we're engaging in non-virtuous behavior. It cannot come about if we're talking in an abusive manner towards those very beings that we have this wish to help. So thinking in this way, we give rise to the firm commitment not to engage in this kind of behavior anymore. That was in the first part of the meditation. The second part then is to cultivate opposing minds or contrary minds. So these would include the wish to be of benefit to others and benefit to others in a meaningful way. And then giving rise to a mind of love, the mind of love that wants others to experience only happiness. And in this kind of meditation we've spoken about, we had more steps earlier, but this was just now in brief. But this meditation is something that we need to do every morning. And in the morning we cultivate this understanding and then of the faults of our speech, making the commitment not to engage in it anymore, and then cultivate a contrary mind such as love or patience and the like. And then in the evening, it's very beneficial then to take some time and reflect on our day and see, how did I perform today against this commitment I've made this morning? And where we did well and we responded in a way that we perhaps wouldn't have in the past, we should recognize that and rejoice in that. And where we responded in our habitual way, we should recognize that and generate regret for that. And generate regret so that spontaneously from our heart, we make the commitment, I do not want to be that person anymore. I don't want to communicate in this way anymore. And if we have a practice like this, where we have the beginning and the end every day, we're cultivating these minds, and we do this over a sustained period of time, then change will come. And here, it's important that we have very clear in our mind what the meaning of this word meditation is. Meditation means making new habits, bringing about familiarity, cultivation. So it has these aspects. So to meditate means to make new mental habits. And to do so repeatedly, continuously, until they become stable. So that is what that is the meaning of meditation, and that, with that understanding, we should engage in our own meditation practice. And a topic such as we've heard tonight is something that's appropriate for all of us. Hence we spent a lot of time on this, because this is appropriate for all of us. There are many topics. Some of them are really quite difficult, but they have a good reputation, a high name. And so those are good topics too. But something like this is very appropriate for practitioners like ourselves. And therefore, we should cultivate these minds to the point that we develop stable habits within ourselves. And this is something that we should do as well as we can. And tomorrow we'll continue the text, starting with the next verse, which is about abandoning bad habits and mental afflictions. And what this verse points out is that if one doesn't engage in this immediately and repeatedly, then we will allow ourselves to strengthen the habits that we already have and make it even more difficult to change this faulty way of thinking and cultivate a new way of thinking. So we'll look at that from tomorrow. So just a few minutes, so some questions. And if no questions, then safe drive home tonight.
Oh.